Shalom, everyone. Ceasefire in Gaza has come to a conclusion. The hostage negotiations have been stopped. Israel has gone back to war in Gaza. U.S. forces have begun an intense military operation against the Houthis in Yemen, and the Houthis have declared war on the United States of America. Ben-Gvir has rejoined the Netanyahu coalition government, and Netanyahu is proceeding to fire the head of Shin Bet, the intelligence agency. Those stories and more. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion of Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, March 21 of the year 2025. And here's the news for the week. In the previous 2 weeks, there's been multiple proposals for hostage negotiations, even the U.S. trying to negotiate directly with Hamas themselves. Israel has proposed several different ideas. Different countries have thrown out different ideas. Hamas has rejected them all. The reason why Hamas is rejecting all the proposals is because most of the proposals also speak to the fact that Hamas in the future will have to disarm. Effectively, in their mind, it means surrender. Hamas is refusing to disarm and surrender for it. If you'll remember, the Hamas charter says that the organization has been formed and will not stop. The organization will not stop until Israel is destroyed. Well, obviously, if Hamas disarms, they're contrary to their own charter and they're refusing to do so. Israel has opened up a new offensive in Gaza as a result. And the new Hamas leaders that they had just put in place to replace Sinwar and some of the others before, Israel bombed them, took out about 4 or 5 of these brand new leaders. There were many casualties, Palestinian casualties of where they were located, and the bombing campaign and the effort to attack Hamas in Gaza is fully underway. Israel has also turned off the electricity. They've stopped all aid trucks going into it and have sent a series of leaflets and maps to them from Israel telling them to evacuate the outer areas or the borders of Gaza to move inland. And during the ceasefire that we had for a couple of months, we have learned that Hamas has been making a major effort to recruit more troops. In fact, they're boasting that they have added to their troops some 15,000. We estimate that they may now have up to 30,000 troops that are armed and supporting their effort. They've been digging more tunnels, setting booby traps, and getting ready for a future military conflict with Israel. So the new IDF chief of Israel, the new general, has stated that their intention is to completely eliminate Hamas and level Gaza. So Gaza is now going to become a full war zone. We're going to be moving civilians back and forth around to stay away from where the combat's taking place. Hamas is going to be playing a cat and mouse game with the IDF. The Defense Minister Katz, also in speaking about the campaign in Gaza, has connected it now to Hamas and terrorist elements in Judea and Samaria, those that are in West Bank, and has stated that defeating Hamas includes taking out all the terrorists in Judea and Samaria, those Palestinian towns inside of Israel itself. U.S. forces have also begun an intense military campaign against the Houthis, led off by B-2 bombing missions with bunker busters going in and taking out bunkers, deep underground bunkers Houthis had to store missiles and munitions. The USS Truman, an aircraft carrier with its battle group, is launching bombing attacks into the Houthi low areas. Its surface ships are launching Tomahawk cruise missiles. It is a full battle array coming from that battle group. The leaders are being targeted. In fact, several Houthi leaders were killed and several casualties were taking place. Weapon caches are being destroyed. Many of the targets around the airport there in those cities are being hit because those are being used by the Houthis for their various operations. As a result, the Houthis, and this should frighten all of us, has declared war on the United States of America. And in launching their war, they've decided to launch a whole host of drones against the U.S. Navy ships that are operating there in the North Sea. And all of them have been shot down. And they claim that they hit the U.S. carrier, that they launched two attacks. However, U.S. military sources that they said they kind of missed, they missed by over 100 miles, never even got close to that aircraft carrier. I can assure you the air defense around that aircraft carrier is world class, and there's no drone or missile that's going to be able to make it through there. They also launched a couple of ballistic missiles up into Israel, and they were shot down as well. Trump has sent a letter to Iran, to Khomeini, the leader of Iran, at the early part of this month, even before the operation with the Houthis began. Again, Trump is appealing to Iran to enter into negotiations for everything that's going on in the Middle East, including their nuclear weapons program. And it's been reported repeatedly that Khomeini said he doesn't want to talk to the U.S. and is refusing to cooperate with it. But there was something different about this letter this time than in previous letters before. President Trump's letter also said to Iran, don't interfere with U.S. forces in the Middle East. Do not attack them. And furthermore, he has given them a two-month deadline. You either start negotiating or you face the other option, which is a military option to force you into compliance. Now, that two-month deadline is a little bit tricky for us because the story got broke for us by Axios. Somehow they got access to some of the letter or saw some of the letter. We're not quite sure exactly when the start moment is for this two-month period in which they must begin to comply. But if you assume it's when the letter was received, then we're talking about the two-month option comes together at the end of April. So that's something to look forward to. Will Trump take military action along with Israel against Iran at the end of this two-month period? At the moment, the U.S. is putting on a full firepower show with the Houthis, allowing Iran to watch exactly how the U.S. military is going to execute that military option. And there's no doubt in anyone's mind that that is showcasing to Iran and saying, this is what could happen to you. So we are watching closely to see how the Houthi operation will come to a conclusion, and to see if that influences Iran in the future. In the Netanyahu government, if you recall, Ben-Gvir, when they started the ceasefire with Hamas, he got very upset with Netanyahu, and he pulled his political party out of the coalition government. Now that Netanyahu is back to war, Ben-Gvir has come back and said, I want to join the government again. Netanyahu welcomed Ben-Gvir and his political party back into the coalition, and I think part of the reason why he did was because Netanyahu had a very slim majority in the absence of Ben-Gvir and his party. And if you recall in previous reports, the religious party, United Torah Judaism, which is part of the coalition, was threatening not to vote for the annual budget. By doing so, if they can't pass the budget, it automatically throws the Israeli government into elections. Netanyahu wants to maintain his coalition, wants to keep the government going and stable while we're fighting the war. By Ben-Gvir coming back in, the threat of not voting for the budget by the United Torah Judaism Party simply goes away. They, of course, were agitating Netanyahu with that because there's a very important law and vote that's before the Knesset that has to do with requiring Haredi students, young men, who are exempt from military service at the moment, that they have to be part of military service just like every other citizen in Israel. Now, United Torah Judaism wants to have them exempted, and in the past they've gotten away with that. But the whole nation is rooting for Netanyahu and the rest of the government to require them to serve just like everyone else. By Ben-Gvir coming back in, that stabilizes his coalition for them to go forward. Ben-Gvir was also voted back in as the head of the police there in Israel over the objections of the Attorney General. The Attorney General is also crosswise with the Netanyahu government. And there's, as you know, there's been internal conflict within Israel between the government of Israel and the judiciary branch, the Supreme Court, along with the Attorney General. At the moment, there is word of a no-confidence vote for the Attorney General. And at stake is the decision of how judges are appointed and put onto the courts. At the moment, the judiciary system in Israel is completely separate from the rest of the government, and they think they have the authority to overrule the prime minister as well as the vote of the Knesset. It's contrary to all the democratic principles. This goes back to that when Israel was first formed more than 75 years ago, they didn't quite set up their constitution correctly. And it was kind of, they did what needed to be done at the time for what they were facing, but now they're paying the consequences of not structuring their government correctly. Those efforts are still internal conflicts in Israel, and Netanyahu's having to wrestle with it frequently. Going along with that, we have heard that Netanyahu is lost trust in the head of Shin Bet. Shin Bet is the intelligence organization that deals with the Palestinian problem, with Hamas. Mossad is the external intelligence organization, but Shin Bet is the internal intelligence organization. Apparently, the leader of Shin Bet wrote a letter back a couple of weeks ago, sent it to Netanyahu. His analysis of what were the mistakes that were made in October 7th, and as you know, Israel is struggling to try to understand and find out what happened, why weren't the citizens protected correctly from the Hamas attack. Several generals have already resigned. The IDF is very embarrassed by the whole situation. Well, Shin Bet obviously is right in the middle of that as well. And so in his letter, he detailed a couple of intel elements where the intelligence that was supplied by Shin Bet was ignored by the government. And furthermore, he attacked the long-standing policy of Netanyahu's coalition government about dealing with Gaza and Shin Bet in the past years leading up to October 7th. Essentially, the letter was a scathing attack on Netanyahu, and it was given to Netanyahu with the purpose in mind, and Shin Bet leader did this. He went to Netanyahu privately and said, "You're going to resign from the government or else I'm going to expose you with this letter." Well, Netanyahu immediately responded to that that's like blackmail, and that's not the proper way to do it. And if Shin Bet is going to spend all their energy on covering their backside and attacking him, then he's going to call for his resignation. Well, the cabinet has just voted, and they have voted to fire the Shin Bet leader. This despite many public protests as this issue has become known to the general public. And the High Court has also issued an injunction to stop the firing of it. Again, who's the people coming that's making the issue? It's another NGO. It's not even representatives of the government. It's other elements within Israel working with the judicial system to counter the Netanyahu government. These issues that we see going on, the tactics being used by using the judicial system to attack the Netanyahu government, are exactly what we're seeing here in the United States right now. President Trump, since he has been elected, has come in and begun to make a series of strong moves to remove waste, fraud, and abuse, to deal with the border issues, to deal with protesters, foreigners that are in the land, and making some very strong moves. And various groups are now filing court cases with federal judges to block many of his moves. Some of these court cases have included stop the firing or laying off of federal workers, of which the President of the United States is the boss of all federal workers, and somehow they're saying he doesn't have the right to hire or fire as he needs to do. And they're also trying to stop the deportations of criminal illegal aliens. And we have a judge who tried to get airplanes pulled back that were delivering deported criminals down to El Salvador that you may have heard of in the news. They've also to stop federal funding to universities, universities that are not stopping protests on their universities that are harming Jewish students that specifically are supported by pro-Hamas protesters. Specifically, Hamas has been deemed a terrorist organization, and the universities are claiming, well, it's free speech for people, foreigners in this country, specifically Palestinians, to come to this country, form protests, and fight the police, and take over buildings in the universities and so forth, harm Jewish students, completely anti-Jewish, anti-Israel protests. So Trump has said these are illegal. They have no right to do it. And since they're here on green cards and they're here as guests of the country to go to school, the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, is saying they can leave the country. And so there's court cases right now to remove some of those individuals, and you hear them in the news at the moment. Again, here's a case where the president is trying to carry out a program, and his enemies, his opponents, are using the court system to try to disturb and block everything he's trying to do. Here in the United States, we've stepped up to a new level of this conflict. Elon Musk has been helping Donald Trump, and because he's been helping Donald Trump, why, the latest protest is vandalism attacks against Tesla automobiles, Tesla dealerships, companies owned by Elon Musk. And we have this hate speech coming from Democrats as well as other liberal elements coming against him. The Attorney General of the United States has defined all of this activity as domestic terrorism. And as a result, it comes under federal law. And there is no difference between Palestinian terrorism against Israel and what's going on here in the United States. It's so subtle as to how it's happening. But the fact of the matter is, what we see happening in the United States right now against President Trump is the exact same thing going on in Israel against the Netanyahu government. Part of this is the spirit of Amalek. It's hatred without a cause. It's just sheer hatred of a man. In Israel, they hate Netanyahu, half the country. In the United States, half the country, they hate Trump. It's not legal, it's not appropriate, it's not logical, it's hatred without a cause. It just doesn't make sense. It's not logical at all. My friends, we have Amalek with us today. This spirit of Amalek that's talked about in the Bible says it would be in every generation. And they're emboldened, and they're going to become even more violent until they are eliminated and removed. Israel is having to face it in their own country, and we are getting ready to face the worst of it here in our own country as well. If you don't like the leader of your country, you vote for a new leader at the next election. That's what's called the majority rule in a democracy. If you don't like Trump, well, vote for somebody new in the next election. If you don't like Netanyahu, vote for somebody new in the next election. To resist and turn to violence instead of using the ballot box is to attack the Constitution and the will of the people. And my friends, that is defined as terrorism and treason. And that's what we're bordering on this country. I find it fascinating that we hear voices within our own country, Democrats, who seem to think that it's the other party that's committing terrorism and treason when it's in fact what they're doing. We see the same problems in Israel. Trump is still working toward the ceasefire with Russia and Ukraine, and those negotiations are still underway. Hezbollah up in Lebanon is still trying to pull off different things against Israel, and Israel is still carrying out airstrikes in the midst of that ceasefire to knock Hezbollah back and keep them at bay. The IDF is now holding Mount Hermon up in the border of Syria and the border along Syria, and not willing to let any of the terrorists or those elements come back in the area to attack Israel. And oh, by the way, the IAEA and the UN now know that Iran has enough material to build 6 nuclear weapons. So sanctions are starting to take effect in Iran. However, the Republican Guard is urging Khomeini, let's go to war. And their generals are making very blustering comments. So it looks like Khomeini's between a rock and a hard place here. His own country generals are calling him to go to war. The U.S. is warning, if you don't negotiate, we are going to go to war. Our world is becoming a very dangerous place, and the danger seems to be building this springtime. All of us need to pray about this, lift up these things before the Lord, not only for Israel, for the Middle East, but for our own country. Thank you for viewing this program. You want to learn more about our program elements, join us at lionelamb.tv. I have a new spring feast series that's now running on Sundays. You might want to check that out as we enter into the Passover season this year. You can also get a free subscription to our Yavo magazine. We have a podcast network of 5 different podcast streams, including Messianic World Update. Another program, Good Questions, Real Answers, is our Q&A program. A teaching program called Chapter and Verse. The other program is The Lion's Share, where you learn about other ministries and other organizations that we're involved with. And the main Lion and Lamb Ministries weekly teachings. I would also let you know that we're also on TikTok now and also on X, the old Twitter. And now, for the first time, we're now on Telegram. And we appreciate all the viewership that we have for it. We're happy to do it, glad to do it for you. So let me conclude by just saying Shabbat Shalom to all of you. Continue to pray. Shalom, everyone.